What's up, everyone? We went through opening night at Championship Soccer Stadium. It was fun, except for maybe the result. I think we were all hoping for 3 points, but it was fun. It was great to see a lot of your faces again at the stadium. So let's go do this. We're going to try something like the club did. We're going to do a new introduction here for the first time. So I'm going to introduce the podcast, say the first part, and my other co-hosts tonight are going to finish it off for me. So let's get this thing started. Welcome to the podcast of champions. This is the Orange and Black
Soccer Cast.
Let's go. How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora, and I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. As you can see, we've already got some faces on here, so I'm just going to go around here. I'm going to start off with the person directly next to me on the top row. That's Taylor. Taylor, welcome back. I'm glad we get to hear your voice again on the show.
Thank you for having me back. Glad to be here. It's not been that big of a gap this time. I must be on a roll.
You must be on a roll. You're done with some of your schooling. I don't know how much schooling you have to do. I don't know how much schooling lawyering is, but I'm sure we'll talk about that more off topic. Who knows? Below you, we've got Mr. Brad. We're doing like Brady Bunch style. We should be looking up and down side to side here. Brad, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I didn't know that lawyers had to go to school, if you asked some of the ones that I've worked with in the world. So doing quite well. As you can obviously tell, my voice has seen better days too. Still dealing with a little bit of a sickness.
Brad, you should have just made it seem like you were hidden somewhere at Championship Soccer Stadium screaming the whole match, and that's why your voice is gone. But thank you for pushing through and being here to talk Orange County Soccer Club with us tonight. We have one other person here. It's a face that you're probably not too familiar with, but this gentleman is a huge fan of our upcoming opponent, FC Tulsa. Let me just ask you, this is Steve. Let me introduce Steve really quick. Steve, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Let me ask you this, Steve. Did you participate in the Polar Plunge thing that we donated to?
Yes, I've done it the past 5-6 years.
So those that were unaware, 83 United, they did a polar plunge. I believe it was to raise funds for Special Olympics in Oklahoma. We saw the opportunity to jump on and donate. We did to represent California. And we waited to the last minute. We gave Arizona and all those Phoenix Rising fans a chance to throw in their support. And when I saw it wasn't happening, I asked the folks that were running that whole thing. I said, hey, can we take over Arizona? And as long as you put butterflies over the map there, and they obliged, and we saw some butterflies over Arizona. So I appreciate your folks over there allowing us to do that, Steve.
Not a problem.
So we're going to go in sort of reverse order. We tend to do when we have guests that are from further east, where the time is a little bit later in the day. So we're going to preview the Tulsa match. Then we'll talk about the home opener against the Miami FC. So let's get right into this Tulsa match. Steve, I'm going to ask you this. How is Tulsa doing early in the season here?
Well, we've only had one game, which we won. And that's all we've done the entire season so far.
What a lucky scheduling break there to only have one game so far, one match so far in the season. How did that match look for you all? Does it look like you all are like ready to come out swinging? Or are you looking more maybe like OC has looked, where there's still some rust, still trying to figure a few things out? How has Tulsa been looking through the preseason in that match?
We've been pretty decent. I don't know if it's rust of more just trying to still get to know all the guys more than anything, because only having one game and only 4 preseason.
Yeah, that can be tough, and you're going to be facing an Orange County team that now has 3 competitive matches under their belt. They've all been pretty hard-fought battles for Orange County. Even with the win that we had out in Pittsburgh, it took a little bit of work. Pittsburgh looked like they were going to come in and maybe claw their way back into that at some points of the match before we got the second goal. Is there any concern in you from the Tulsa side that, you know, you're going against a team that does have some battle tested matches already early in the season here for Tulsa now?
Definitely. We're going against the juggernauts the first like four games of the season. I mean, we had Las Vegas at the beginning, but we're going against you guys next, Sacramento after that, and then Phoenix. So we're going to get a good test.
Yeah, definitely going to get a good test with Orange County. I think they're slowly finding their form. They're missing some key players, at least in these first three matches, but those players that are stepping in are actually looking like players that are going to contribute with this team throughout the season. Let me ask you this with Tulsa. What player or a couple of players are really standing out to you and to the supporters there as players that are going to be really a big part of the season and the potential success for Tulsa this year?
Obviously, it's going to be Goodrum, our number nine. I mean, last year, we got him like halfway in the season, racked up 9 goals by the end of the season. Others like Milo Yusuf, he's one of our returners, the winger. He has some pretty nice crosses in, and I'm really intrigued with the our new center back from Swahee. He came from Hailstrom. He was the defender of the year last year for the entire League One. So, and he's stepped up a lot already.
What do you think is going to be one of the powerhouse moves for Tulsa? Do you think up top is going to be the strongest? Do you think defensively is going to be better? What do you think everyone needs to be on the watch for?
I would say our midfield is a lot better than years past. One of our biggest things. And it's kind of intriguing. I mean, I think this year we're basically doing our formations like a 4-3-3 and more of a high press. So it's things that we haven't really done the past years. So it's going to be interesting.
All right. So my question, I got a couple. First one, there was a lot of news in this offseason about Tulsa bringing in some players, and then immediately those players went and found other homes. The two that I'm thinking of are Jeremy Kelly going to Crawley Town and Charlie Adams, I think, coming here to Vegas. Yes. Is there any news to that story, or is that just – it just happened?
Well, during the offseason, too, we partnered with Trieste, Italian Serie C. And we brought in basically a general manager, Alex Menta. He's really hammered down on some of the players. I just don't think like Kelly wasn't going to fit with the new formation, with the new coach and everything else. And then the rumor mill is like Charlie Adams. He was came into the off season, to the preseason, pretty overweight and almost like he was just waiting, just came in for like a payday. But like I said, that's rumor. I can't verify that. So,
of course. So, the other thing that we've already brought up is moving back from the east to the west. You've seen all the competition coming to and fro. Which conference is the preferred place? Is it the Eastern is the better conference, or is it the Western conference, as we like to say here?
I'm always partial to the Eastern Conference just because, like, our away games are to us is at 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. games. So to you guys, it'd be like 4 p.m. So I've always now with the way our game time, it starts, it's 9 p.m. here. So, but I would best say Eastern more is like a, they just to score a goal and just sit back. The Western is more of an attacking open type of game, which it's stylistically, I think that's more majority of people will prefer that.
All right. And finally, I mean, obviously not too much tape to the season that we can really look back to compare. But how's Tulsa going to beat Orange County this year? Is it an offensive lashing or is it defensive minded football?
I would say more than anything, it's going to be offensively. I don't think we're going to sit back and wait for you to make a mistake type of thing or anything. I think it's going to be more of coming out and trying to grab the game.
I pulled a Brad there, ladies and gentlemen. For those that don't know, I had the mic muted when I went to go speak there. I apologize. Let me ask you a little bit about the atmosphere and how the fans have embraced. Obviously, y'all have been around for a while now, but how is the soccer community embracing FC Tulsa? I know you rebranded from the Roughnecks to FC Tulsa. Is there a preference from the fan base? Do they like the old school Golden Roughneck style, or are they loving the new, you know, gold and white FC Tulsa branding?
I think we're embracing the getting away from the Roughneck. I don't think, to me, we were actually doing it justice with the branding of going back with the Roughnecks, because, you know, there's a lot of history back in the 80s of us there. So I think more people are more embraced with the newer FC Tulsa.
Is there a personal preference on your end? Do you like the older branding or do you like the newer branding?
I enjoy the being FC Tulsa more than the Roughnecks.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, and that's sort of what you see some of the teams doing, right? Is getting away from that Americanized styling of naming your team and going to more of a traditional soccer, or in the world they call it football style, where it's more just, you know, your city and some sort of moniker, FC, United, whatever you're going to put on there, which is I think is pretty cool. We did that obviously a few years back when we were branded to OCSC, Orange County Soccer Club. From the previously known as the OC Blues. We did have a viewer question on here, so we're going to go ahead and ask that just to get your thoughts on here. It looks like, or I don't know if it was a viewer or if it's a question that we had ahead of time, but Chuck wants to know what your favorite barbecue place is in Tulsa. And the comment on there is that mine was the now closed Burn Company Barbecue.
Yeah. Burnco was really good, and no knock on it. I would probably – I've been a fan with just Elmer's, which is in Midtown of Tulsa. They've been there for years, so.
Would you consider Tulsa to be one of the hidden gems of barbecue? Because everyone talks about Texas, or you talk about Memphis, or you talk about – you know, Brad's favorite place, North Carolina, when you're talking about, you know, the Carolina barbecue going on. Is Tulsa up there with the levels of barbecue?
Yes and no. There are some really good barbecue joints, but a majority of them now is more of a chain now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way most places go nowadays, right? They all just... it's the chains that take over the world, and the mom and pop shops are struggling, but it's always nice when you can support a local spot. Yeah. Hey, for anyone that is potentially thinking of traveling to Tulsa anytime soon, do you want to give a shout out to a local business out there that you all like to support?
We definitely support the Tulsa Athletic Club. That's where we do all our watch parties, which is a local bar, pickleball court, everything. So
awesome. A local bar and a pickleball court going on right there. Can you imagine you're like chugging some beers and then go play some pickleball? I can't see how that would work out any better, right? You know, chug some beers, run around, swing a racket and try not to hit anybody. Let me ask you this. What if you're watching this match this weekend between Tulsa and OC and you're seeing whatever, tell me what you're seeing from Tulsa that has you worried. If like within the first 20 minutes, you're seeing something that worries you, what is it that worries you? And that lets you know it's not going to be a good day for Tulsa.
If we're on the back foot and we're more reactionary than being proactive, that always gets me a little nervous.
Yeah, that would get, I think, many soccer fans nervous when you see that happening. So you're not alone on that. And I would assume the same thing from Orange County fans. If we're seeing that, we're maybe a little worried, especially after this past weekend. We saw some high press from Miami and it maybe flustered Orange County a little bit at times. I like that we have producer Andy. He's pulling out old school Tulsa Roughnecks stuff. Uh-huh. This is 1981 Tulsa Roughnecks squad. That's beautiful, producer Andy. Let me ask you this one last thing from you, Steve. Do you have I'm not going to say obviously. You're not making the trip out to Orange County, are you?
No, I'm not going to be there. Nah.
I know that's a tough trip to go from Tulsa Tulsa to Orange County. I'm sure you could do like Southwest and get there, but it's not the easiest trip.
Yeah.
How many people do you think are going to be at that watch party this weekend?
Well, we're also doing a TIFO paint party for our opener match. So hopefully there's going to be multiple. Last watch party we had over 60 to 70 people there. So, which is a really good turnout for us, but it's also opening game.
That's awesome. We love to see the love of soccer across the country. And obviously with Tulsa, we want y'all to continue to be successful. And I mean, hey, you look at Oklahoma as far as professional soccer, there's another team in the state that's been struggling the last few years to put anything on the pitch.
Other team in the state.
Well, Steve, I want to let you go because I know it's getting late for you out there. And you mentioned you got an early morning. So we appreciate you taking some time. Speaking to us about Tulsa, FC Tulsa, and wishing you the best of luck this season, except for this coming weekend.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Awesome. Oh, really quick, Steve, share with our listeners if they want to, you know, follow you or 83 United, where do they go?
83 United is all our socials. 83united.org is all of our, that's our website, and then we could follow anything on there. My Twitter handle, majority of people see, is it's the real S hits. So
awesome. So if you want to check it out, hey, you know, if you want to follow 83 United, so the next time they're doing a polar plunge, you want to contribute. And maybe if there's any fans from other states, maybe Arizona, that are listening to this and you want to beat us to the punch next time, you know where to go. Check that out and make sure you get your donation, and so we don't put butterflies in there a second year in a row. Steve, thank you so much for taking some time to speak with us about FC Tulsa, and have a great rest of your week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
So there we have it. That's our preview. We didn't get a prediction from Steve. I just realized that as I'm letting him go. So I apologize. Oh, he's still there. Do you want to throw a prediction in of this match, Steve?
I have to do the homer. I'm going to go with 2-1 us.
2-1 us, and you're on the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. So obviously the us is Orange County SC. So we will take that. Now I get what you're saying there, Steve. Thank you so much.
Right, I'm
glad you weren't already like closing down your laptop when we brought it.
Yeah, you're good. Awesome. Thank you guys.
Awesome. So let's do some quick predictions for this match. If y'all want to, I'm going to go to you first, Brad.
Ooh, I mean, I see this as a Orange County's second tough matchup so far this year. Obviously don't know too much, but they put Vegas through a shellacking, and I think this Vegas team is better than they give them credit for. I'll say that this is a 2-2 draw. I think we continue scoring two goals a game.
All right. Taylor, please tell me you're thinking more positive for Orange County in this match than Mr. Brad.
I want to, but it's hard with how many people we have out and coming off the game that we just had. It's struggling. I'm struggling. I want to say 3-1, but I think realistically we could win 2-1.
All right. I'm going to go with a 2-0 shutout for Orange County this one. I know that's being very ambitious there. Tulsa does look like a very difficult matchup on the attacking side, especially like Taylor said, we don't really know what's going on with some of the injuries on this team. But I'm hopeful. I want to be hopeful in that. Let's talk about maybe some injuries. Let's talk about this match, the home opener. I believe when I'm looking at this screen here, I was the only one that actually was at the stadium. So I'm going to, you know, talk about that aspect of it. I know Brad was watching because me and him chatted at halftime. If you didn't follow us on social media on Twitter or what's now called X, we did a Spaces on there and we talked a little bit and did a halftime breakdown. We're going to try and do more of those throughout the season. So follow us on X if you want to take part in some of that. Taylor, I know you were trying to get the match on. Were you able to successfully figure it out or
no? Not? So we were at a local brewery, Chapman Crafted down in Orange, and they had Bally on, but the only stuff that they were just talking about LA Kings the whole time. Luckily, we had a friend that went to her house around the corner, brought a laptop for us, so we just set up and watched it that way instead at the bar. But it was a bummer. But I hear the other people were able to get it on there, so I'm not really sure what happened.
Very interesting. And yeah, it's, you know, part of this whole like multiple different streaming partners. It's you know, obviously Bally's is the local sports outlet, and Orange County is going to have matches on there, and it hopefully allows bars and breweries to show it, which Taylor, I applaud you for trying to get that set up and having the game televised in a public location. And can you just say thanks to your friend for at least, you know, pulling in the assist there and getting a laptop out. Let's talk about this match a little bit. Let me first talk about the stadium and what was going on there. The stadium was pretty energetic, pretty rocking from the get-go. I know there was probably a bit of fans that decided not to come out because it had been raining all day. It had been chilly heading into the match. So I'm sure there was, you know, maybe a 5% drop off of what would have potentially been there had it been a typical California March night. But even with that, it was pretty energetic in the stands, which was really nice to see. I was hanging out over by the CLC, those wonderful bunch of fans that you're seeing on the live stream right now. They were in mid-season form, and this was the first match of the season, which was pretty nice to see. The club was trying some new stuff too. Let me just say this. I appreciate the club, you know, referencing Counterline Coalition in the introductory, I can't talk right now, in their speech before the match. Also trying a new player introduction thing. We'll see how it sticks. I know a lot of fans were sort of confused. I heard from some fans that they couldn't really hear what was going on, but apparently it seems like the club wants to potentially go with when they're introducing the starting 11 for Orange County, the PA announcer will say, you know, at goal number one, call in, and then the crowd is supposed to yell in unison the last name. It wasn't quite there, but obviously this was sort of just a last minute thing that we were made aware of at the stadium. So maybe as it goes through the season, the fans will be ready for that. I think the fans were very into the match from what I could tell, from what I could hear. They were hoping for that win. Unfortunately, Orange County only got the point. 2-2 draw. Brad, I'm going to go to you really quick. What are your thoughts on what you saw on the stream and what you saw from Orange County on the pitch?
Yeah, my first thought is sloppy mistakes make for tough games to win. The defensive pairing of Ashton Miles and Mr. Fox. Yeah, Ashton scored a goal. Yes, I think he plays better than he did tonight. He almost was on the hook for a third goal, where he headed the ball back, and the player, I believe it was Lopez, from Miami nearly shot a worldie across the, you know, just chipped Shuttler there. And I believe also the first goal was a kind of collection of the back line failing. However, Orange County is still scoring from set pieces, and it is a testament to how much work they've put in into that this year. And of all three games we've played this year, I think this was our best game, where we got our most shots, our most possession. We looked comfortable on the ball in the midfield. And this game could have easily had been, like I said, it could have easily have been 4-2. It could have easily had been 4-4 as well. Leave it up to Gagliardi, the Miami goalkeeper, who made some incredible saves, including one, I think, here on Thomas Among, just absolutely giving his all. And speaking of Among, Among comes on, and he looks better as the super sub. I definitely believe that this is the correct role for him, for Among being a super sub. And Sorto, for the time that he was on the pitch, he is also a difference maker. Hopefully his injury is not super severe.
Yeah, I agree with you in the aspect of Among as a super sub. I think this role is perfect for him. And yeah, I do hope we're not missing. Oh man, you just said the name too, Christian Sorto, for a long period of time, but we'll have to see. Cause it looked like, I mean, anytime you bring a stretcher onto the pitch to potentially wheel the player off, although he didn't need it, but he had to be helped off the pitch by some friends or by some teammates. Taylor, let me go to you. Obviously this is a makeshift roster. When you look at the lineup, right? You have Ashish Chadha playing, I believe it was left back. Was it left back or right back? On the defense, which is not his natural position. You're missing Kyle Scott. You're missing Dylan Powers. You're missing Marcus Nockham. There's a lot of players missing from that big run we had at the end of last season, or players playing out of position. How much of an impact do you think that had in the result for this match?
I think the players that we were missing were big impact players, and that they're solid. And we get consistent plays from them. And I think that was definitely missing. Like Brad was just saying, like we get that sloppiness in the middle, or that sloppiness at the back. We typically have like a strong compact in each area. And then there can be some sloppy on the outsides. Yeah. But we normally have that main group, but not having that definitely made the difference. And that mistakes started to piggyback on top of each other. And I think that was kind of a reoccurrence throughout the game, as there was a lot of one mistake, two mistakes, three mistakes, that definitely could have resulted in a bigger scoreline for Miami. So I'm glad that at least it was 2-2. I think we definitely picked up in the last like 10 minutes. And we could have gotten some more in there. I mean, it was like the goalkeeper was having the time of his life for Miami at one point. So that was kind of unfortunate. But if we were playing like that the whole game, it definitely would have been better. I'm guessing, or that those little peaks right there at the end, that's where I thought we were going to be coming in strong and get that last goal, but unfortunately it didn't work that way. But I will say, you were saying that the stand was electric. We couldn't really see that on TV. You don't see the CLC anymore. You don't see the whole packed side. So that's a huge bummer to not see that at all. I think see it when they're celebrating for goals, but not for during the game.
We could talk a little bit about that maybe a little bit later in this episode. And we'll talk a little bit more about the breakdown of this match. But we do have one of the stars of this match that got his first career goal or professional goal with the Orange County SC here this past weekend. Also one of those players that's getting some quality minutes while some other players that would have potentially been slotted in at the beginning of the season to start. And getting quality minutes early in the season. I think we'd rather get those minutes early in the season than later in the season. And that's one of the stars for this match, Mr. Ashton Miles. Ashton, welcome to the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
Hi.
We're glad we can... Oh, we're doing great. We're glad we can have you on here. I know I spoke to you after the match, and I was stoked when you agreed to jump on the show with us today to talk about the match and just talk about soccer in general. Let me ask you this, because obviously there's probably a good pecking order there on the central defense. And, you know, you're looking coming into the season, maybe you're not anticipating, or maybe you were thinking, hey, I'm going to get my minutes this season. How has the season started for you? Is this probably the best start you could have thought of to have a season as far as you personally and getting playing time and scoring a goal this past weekend?
Yeah, 100%. I had no idea I would be starting this season off like I have. It's absolutely been a dream. I came into the preseason knowing that it was going to be a lot of work to get to a starting spot. And I was lucky. I could say it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to be happy with it, but with the injuries that happened and everything, it gave me the opportunity to step into the lineup. And, you know, I was ready since day one to play and to play at this level. So, yeah, I mean, it's incredible how it started so far.
And Ashaba, I mean, you don't have to be so too humble about this. I mean, obviously every athlete comes in and they want their opportunity. They want their chance to prove themselves. And sometimes they take it and they're very successful with it. Sometimes they get that moment and they bumble the ball a little bit, or they struggle and it becomes a hard thing for them. So be proud of yourself that you got this opportunity early in the season and you've taken it and you've ran with it and you've looked like you really belong out there for Orange County. Proof in that, getting a goal on a nice power header there against Miami. Can you run us through that goal and how that just all played out in your mind?
Yeah, it was amazing. I kind of lost for words with it. It was, you know, amazing cross by Brian to the back stick. And in those moments, it's your brain shuts off. You're not thinking, you're just reacting. So I saw the ball in the air and I knew I had to get past the defender, and I just went right to it. Luckily, I jumped over him to get the ball and just made sure that I headed the ball down into the goal. And, you know, I'm so happy it went in.
Yeah. And for those that aren't or have never played the sport, maybe they've only played briefly as a young player, a header like that is not the easiest thing to put on target. It's a ball's coming at you pretty good pace, and you're having to time it perfectly and aim it perfectly and get it on the right part of your head. How many times in your soccer life, your young soccer life, have you had opportunities like that? And did those play into factor in the way you positioned yourself for this goal?
Oh yeah. So it's really hard to, when the ball's coming in like that, it's hard to direct it down. I've had tons of crosses that have landed perfectly on my head, but just a little misdirection and it goes over every single time. So it's really hard to try to get, you have to get over the ball to hit it down. And that is a challenge. But yeah, I mean, I've mainly scored headers throughout my career. As a young player, I was always the target in the box because I've been tall. And so I've always been the target man. So I've had tons of practice with it. And in the past year with the academy, it was also a big factor. I scored a lot with the academy in scrimmages and in the league. So that just helped me know what to do and know that I can score.
That's awesome. And being one of the younger ones in the team, is there anyone in particular that's taking you under their wing or that you're looking up to and that's really helping you go through this experience?
Yeah, I mean, Seth helps me a lot. He's a big help. He talks to me a lot and gives me guidance when I need it, and always in a positive aspect. It's never negative or looking down on you. It's always positive, trying to help me. He's probably the biggest help I've had so far.
Cool. He's been really great on here, and you can see that he kind of tries to be a leader and emphasizes wanting to help the younger kids coming through. So that's great to hear. So in the few minutes you had last season, and then obviously your big minutes this season, so far we've seen such a huge progression. Is there anything that in particular that you're really wanting to focus on and like make your signature move this season?
I would say just my defending in general. being able just to be a brick wall back there and not let anyone get through or, you know, score on me. And that is my main focus, is to make sure I defend well and, you know, keep goals out of the net.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Ashton. Again, I got two questions for you. The first is, obviously the team is putting a lot of effort into set pieces, corner kicks, because we've scored, I believe, I want to say it was 5 out of our 6 or 4 out of our 6 goals on the season from corners and set pieces, which is quite a lot. How much preparation is the team doing on this? And how does that differ from seasons past? Because I know you were with the team last year.
Yeah, so this year we, I wouldn't say it's too much more preparation than last year. We do, you know, after trainings, sometimes we go and practice set pieces for about 20 minutes and we do video on them. So, but we've been doing this for the past few seasons, and I feel like it's kind of all coming together and everyone's on the same page. I think the past couple of years, it's been a bit too complicated and everyone wasn't in the same or on the same page when it came to our set pieces. And I think this year we're just really together and we know what we need to do, what our job is, and we've been able to execute it perfectly. So, yeah.
All right. So my next question for you, Ashton, I believe you are foregoing college eligibility by playing for Orange County now. What went into that decision? Because I know that's not something you can really do lightly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a tough decision. I had a lot of colleges that I could have gone to that were high D1s. And I looked at it as, you know, I want to be in the pro space. I want to be in the pro sector and be able to be looked at and play against pros. And I felt like for me personally, that was going to help me more than going to college. Because I feel like college wasn't that big of a step up. And I believe Orange County is a huge step up. And I feel like I can get more looks and a bigger name from playing pro than if I went to college, you know, had to spend 4 years there and then hopefully get drafted. I feel like going this route will help my career more.
All right. And finally, any goals for you for the rest of the year? Like, what are your personal goals with Orange County?
I would say my goals are to continue to keep my spot in starting lineup for sure, and to keep performing at a pace where I don't lose that, and to, you know, just play my heart out every game and focus on, you know, being together with the team, you know, helping us towards wins and play as much as I can.
Let me ask you this, Ashton, because Orange County obviously has a strong tie with developing youth players with the hope of transitioning them to that next step, whether it's to MLS or to Europe, which seems to be a path that a lot of the players are taking. Orange County's pulling in a lot of great young talent from across the nation. You're one of those players, though, that's a local born or a local player here in Orange County. I think really, I'm trying to think back. The last one that really was in that position was Aaron Cervantes a few years back. He eventually transferred over to Rangers. He was a local product. How is it being able to play professionally in your hometown area? I get it. Orange County is not a town. It's a whole county. But, you know, it's your local professional team here. How does it feel to wear, you know, the Orange County badge on your shirt and represent this team and get the opportunity with this team, a team that's in your backyard?
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely amazing. You know, I grew up and, you know, I had tons of games at the Great Park as a kid. That's where, you know, our main training and games were. And we'd always walk by the stadium and, you know, wonder like who plays there and, you know, honestly wish one day that I'd be able to play in that stadium. And then come to find out, you know, Orange County, that we actually have a team, and to be able to have the opportunity to come play for this team in my hometown, I mean, it's absolutely a dream. You know, I could still live at home with my family, you know, still have, you know, my normal life, don't have to move across the country. And I think it's great, especially now that, you know, we're growing in popularity. It's awesome walking around, you know, where I live in Brea by the mall and seeing people in Orange County clothing. It's awesome. It feels amazing.
Let me ask you, we had a fan question in the chats during this, because you mentioned Seth as sort of a mentor for you on this team. Any thoughts of you trying to grow a Seth style mustache at some point in your career?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I did have a like a goatee before, probably a year or two back, that I liked and I had for a while. But if I grew out my facial hair again, it would probably be a full beard. I don't think I would be able to pull off the stash like he does.
Hey, as the Reno 1868 historian here, Seth did have one of those when he was with Reno. So ask him for photos. You were probably still in diapers.
There you go. Yeah, Seth's the old man on the team, huh? Let me ask you one last question. It's not even a serious question, so we're just going to go to this. I don't know if producer Andy has any access to the photo that the team sent when we were asking for a photo of you, so we can sort of promote this episode. But the comment that I was hearing from some people was, you look like a superhero in that pose, or the way you looked in that photo. You got that flag behind you. Are you petitioning here to maybe get the nickname Captain America, or what are your thoughts? Have you seen that photo? Did you get to see the photo circling around? Really great photo, by the way. Let me ask you this. Local shout out. We like to ask our guests to give a local shout out to a business, a restaurant that they like to go to and want to just give a shout out on our episode so our fans can find it. Do you have a local one?
Yeah, I mean, I have two. One right by where I live, the Summit House. It's a great prime rib house that I love going to. It's decently expensive, but I mean, it's amazing food. And then my other one would be Gulliver's down by John Wayne Airport. It's amazing atmosphere in there. They, you know, they have decorations for every single holiday, and it's great food and a great atmosphere. So yeah, I'd say those two.
So we know that Ashton likes prime rib from his shout out questions there. Now, let me ask you this. We're talking about like these restaurants. When you go out to dinner now with your family, now that you're a professional soccer player, do you pick up the check, or do you still let the parents do that?
The parents still do that. I do not pick up the check.
That good. You have great parents there if they're still doing that for you, even though you're making that soccer money now. Music taste. What type of music are you into?
I'm into country and rock are my two that I listen to a lot.
Awesome. And if you pulled up your Apple Music or your Spotify, whatever you use, and you just open up the screen, what's the last song that probably was playing on there?
Probably a Linkin Park song.
Now, are you going like old school Linkin Park or newer? I know you can't really go too new with it, Linkin Park, obviously, but are you going like back to the roots or more of the modern stuff?
Back to the roots, but they have actually a few newer albums that were really good. Like my go-to is probably Bleed It Out is my go-to. And then a newer one they have is Fighting Myself. I love that one too. Those are my two probably favorites by them.
Can I say Bleeding Out? That's a nice pump you up song right there, right? You want to get pumped up, just bump that song and it just gets you your heart racing because the beat's going. That's an awesome song to pick there. Let me ask you this. Who has the worst taste of music in the clubhouse?
Oof. It's a tough one. Not too many people get on speaker, so I don't really know. It's usually the same three or four that have the speakers. Usually Seth, Cameron, Kyle. So I really don't know. If it's,
just so you know, I mean, by all means, because I don't want to get you in trouble with your teammates, so you don't have to submit an answer for this, but a majority that we've asked this question to will typically go towards Seth as the worst taste in music from the team. Just throwing it out there just so you know. Let me hand it off to Taylor. Since we don't have Dylan here, I'm going to let Taylor ask this question since we haven't heard her voice from him. This is the Dylan, world famous Dylan question. We ask this of all the players and coaching staff that join our show. Go for it, Taylor.
Yep. So I believe the question goes, what is your favorite vegetable and how do you prepare it?
So I would say my favorite vegetable has to be Brussels sprouts, which is, you know, a different one. But if you prepare it correctly, it's amazing. And you can also prepare it in tons of different ways. So what we do usually is just basic salt, pepper, garlic, and then like whatever your favorite seasoning is. So we use like a steak seasoning as well on top of that. And it tastes great. But you can also like, you want something sweeter, you can do like a honey mix with it, and it's actually it's really good as well. So I would say, yeah, Brussels sprouts are probably my favorite.
Very versatile vegetable.
Yeah,
I was gonna say a very rare Brussels sprouts answer. Awesome, Ashton. You're gonna stand out with that answer from a lot of the previous guests we've had. We're gonna let you head out, Ashton. But before we do. Do you have a message for the fans that will be making it out to the match this weekend? What do you have to say for them? What do you need from them in the stands?
Well, just thank you for the support. It was amazing. You know, when I scored and the announcer was yelling Ashton and the whole crowd yelled Miles like 10 times, it was absolutely amazing. Like it felt crazy in that moment. And, you know, to keep that energy helps us a ton. Like you can see after that goal and after the crowd, the energy we got as a team was next to none. So I just keep that energy and yeah, thank you for coming out.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, your goal scoring defender for Orange County Soccer Club, Mr. Ashton Miles. Ashton, thank you for joining us in this episode. We hope to talk to you again soon, maybe after you score a few more goals for the team and leading us to the cup.
Yeah, hopefully. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Ashton. All right. So there's Mr. Ashton Miles. First time on the show. I was stoked. I was talking to Ashton after the match. I was hoping that he would be interested in joining us. And he said, sure, I'll jump on. And once that happened, I was like, yep, let's make this happen. We love spotlighting the talent on this team. And he's part of that youth talent that Orange County just keeps finding and very successful with. So we're hoping that he continues in that tradition and, you know, builds up his resume and finds that next landing point for him. Brad, let me ask you really quick, because we sort of talked at halftime on the X Spaces about that goal that Orange County scored and how it sort of lifted the energy for the team out there. And if not for that late second goal from Miami in the first half, we probably are looking at a whole different result in this match, right? I think Orange County would have continued with the energy, would have been stronger, or am I just having wishful thinking there?
No, I actually agree with you. That's not wishful thinking. I definitely agree with you that the second half, during that halftime talk we had, we mentioned that Orange County is a second half team, that they were going to make adjustments to come out for the better. And Orange County only allowed one shot on goal that entire second half. One shot total that entire second half compared to four total shots and three on goal in the first half. So you're looking at the game flow, the expected goals. Orange County has 1.76 to Miami's 0.29. And like I said then, and like I said earlier today, and like I say now, Orange County made some mistakes in that first half, allowing Miami to get two very almost gimme goals. We almost made the same mistakes against Pittsburgh where they were pressing us for the whole game, but Miami came out they took advantage of those two mistakes, and they played really solid defense for most of the rest of the game.
Let me ask you, Taylor, because again, you played goalie, you sort of know that part of the pitch. It seems like the high press is sort of our Achilles early on in the season. I feel like the team isn't quite reacting to the high press that the other teams are putting on us, and we're making these mistakes that are leading to goals for the opposing team. How do you, in your experience, sort of fix that or grow from that?
I mean, when you're the last person back there, it always kind of – you have to have that thought process of, well, I had to go through, you know, 10 people to get to me first. Because otherwise, it's just like every time you're like, what else could I have done? What else could I have done? But sometimes it's just there's one of you versus two or three of them open in front of you, and you just can't beat that. To deal with that high press, we're just going to have to get used to having some – of our big players not in all the time, because things like injuries are inevitable. So we do need to get used to having different players in different positions, or maybe even getting some people on the roster that can fill in positions that we're kind of light on. But it'll just take something that'll take time. And unfortunately for us, it won't be something that'll be like, we've got that fixed next game.
And I'm just thinking as you're talking, right, is I think one of those key pieces to sort of breaking down the high press, at least last season, was Kyle Scott. And obviously he's not been in the lineup this season. He's one of those ones that would drop back deep to help out, relieve that pressure, get the ball. And because he's so comfortable with the ball at his feet, he could take that press and make the opposing player over press. And then he gets by them and it leads to some nice, easy transition for Orange County. So that's one of those things that without those pieces you're figuring out. But again, I said, I'd rather have this happening right now so your players can you can get these new players, make them play big minutes early in the season. So now you know they're battle tested when it comes down to the final third run of the season, and now they can contribute and help in those moments that we need them, instead of putting a raw talent out there that hasn't played much, that doesn't know what to do and hasn't played with these players.
For sure. And it's just going to make them more competitive as well, and the team as a whole more competitive. You're going to have younger kids now with 270 minutes already that are fighting to stay in there, and it's going to push them to get better as well as the people that are traditionally in those positions. So I think it's a good thing all around.
Any last thoughts on the Vegas on the Miami match before we move on?
I think nope. We need okay. To
well, I just want, what I want to do is, because there's been a lot of chat about the camera view for the home matches, right? So if you didn't notice, if you weren't watching the match streaming, it was on the main stand side. So now you're seeing the backside stands, and you're seeing the mountains in the background and stuff like that. I don't know the validity of what I heard, but I heard one of the reasons for that is there was some pushback from some of the networks we're working with to avoid any of that bad sun glare that happens early in the match when the camera's on the other side of the field. Anyone that's watched the streams when the team's playing at Championship Soccer Stadium, for the first 10, 15 minutes, you have some really bad sunlight, especially on that right side when the camera's facing that way. I think, again, I don't know the validity, but I did hear from some little rumors that it was from the networks that are saying we want to avoid that as much as possible, or get rid of that if possible, which may be a reason for why the camera has shifted to the other side. But that's just what I've heard. I don't know for sure, but I just want to let people know, obviously it's not like something that's just, let's just flip a coin and see what side the camera's going to be on. There's always some sort of discussion as to why you're putting something where it is, but that's what I've heard. Any thoughts on that from the two of you before we move on?
I wasn't there, but at the game, obviously we were watching from a local bar, but when it came on, I was like, wow, it was a sellout crowd, but like, it doesn't look like it. And traditionally that side of the field is lighter on people. Even when we're packed on one side, there is a little lighter on the other side. And it didn't quite click with me until later on that I was like, you can't see the CLC, and that's the lighter side versus the other. And I think it's unfortunate because you get to see a lot of the CLC and see that energy over on the other side and everybody moving around and watching the game. But I get that with the sunlight. It's just unfortunate that there wasn't a different option to make it work on the other side.
Yeah, I get it. Obviously, I think you'd love to see that bigger stand and have the CLC always sort of on camera on that bottom right side of the screen, or upper right side of the screen, I guess, when the ball's on that side of the pitch. But I mean, again, when you're looking, especially with the league going to where they're potentially going to be more and more on over the air CBS, potentially more matches on ESPN, there's going to be the requirement or the necessity to be more professional looking. And part of that is not having a really obnoxious glare of sun that we've seen at many stadiums, right? Not just Championship Soccer Stadium, but we've seen a lot of stadiums have that type of issue. I think New Mexico has been one of the ones that's had some issues like that with that. So we'll see how this all plays out. Who knows? You know, it could be something that the club figures out a way to resolve maybe any issues or concerns or anything like that. All right. Wow. I know our producer popped up score predictions before we got into the stadium talk, but we actually gave our score predictions earlier, so we don't need to do that. So I think unless there's other – oh, yes, this score predictions. Brad, go for it, man. I was about to cut you off and not let you discuss this.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people – my score prediction sheet looked like a – what's the word I'm looking for? Ones and zeros – binary code, because everyone said that Orange County was going to win, but you only got a point if Orange County scored two goals this week. So my score prediction sheet said 0-1, 0-1, 1-1, 0-1, so on and so forth.
So there's the way it looks right now. Surprise, Taylor, last season you were dominating the, I guess we combined the written and on-air team for this, so maybe it's not as easy for you, but I think you were dominating most of the year last year. You're not quite at the top, but Nathan,
it's early. Good job, Nathan. I have time here.
Nico on the community, we got Nico, we got Jen, we got Kayvon are the leaders. Matt also is up there, although he's not highlighted at 8. So good job on that. But if you look at it, yeah, because of some of the maybe confusion with what was going on, or not confusion, but the thoughts that it was going to be a more successful home opener, it really threw everyone off. So those scores are all really close, probably 3 matches in. I'm in my traditional very bottom of the table there, 1 point here, but I'm going to move my way up. My goal is to win this season. That's what I'm saying right now. I'm going to pull an OC. I'm going to come from bottom of the table to the top of the table, or at least somewhere near the top of the table by the end of the season. Brad, how's it been looking? Have we been getting good? Obviously, there's a lot more names than we saw here last year. I believe we're doing a little bit more of a push social media wise to let people know, hey, get your votes in. You're seeing an uptick on that, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've seen 102 predictions over the first 3 weeks of this year, compared to 515 predictions over the course of 34 games last year. So we're averaging over 30 predictions a game. We're getting new people every week. Not everyone's coming back, but I would say about 70% of people are placing a prediction every week, if not 75% of everyone who's signed up.
Put votes in, folks. Put votes in. Let's get into this really quick. Does anyone have any important random soccer stuff they want to talk about before we wrap things up today? If so, go ahead and say it. If not, no worries.
I will just throw out there that Rangers women won the Scottish Cup this morning. So, yes.
There we go. Let's wrap this thing up. And to do so, we're going to talk about what we've learned on this episode. Brad, I'm going to go to you first. What did you learn on this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I learned this episode that some teams get lots of play in the early season, and Tulsa has one game in 3 weeks, and I can't understand the booking for that.
It feels very similar to when we came out of COVID and Orange County like had one or two games in the first like month of the season. We were all like, oh, this is gonna suck, when we hit like certain months where we had like 6 or 7 matches. So yeah. Taylor,
I learned that we could put steak sauce and honey sauce on Brussels sprouts,
and that it will taste good per action miles.
Yeah.
What did I learn today? I learned that the 1981 Tulsa Roughnecks teams looks legit. They look pretty cool. Producer Andy found a picture of that team and put it up on the screen. So if you don't watch the video form of this show, go check it out on YouTube. Go check it out on our Spotify channel, because you can actually watch the replay of the video on Spotify as well if you're watching from the app or from the website. Oh, by the way, while you're doing so, go ahead and give us a like or follow on any of the platforms you listen to our podcast, any social media that you want to go on. Find us, like us, retweet what we have to send out there so we can get our message out to more and more people. Your help is helping us grow this podcast and getting the message and the talk about Orange County to more people out there. With that said, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. I want to thank everyone. I want to thank our guest, first and foremost, Mr. Asher Miles, defender for Orange County Soccer Club. Also, Steve Hitz from 83 United, the independent fan group and supporter group for FC Tulsa, for joining the show earlier. I also want to thank Taylor and Brad, all of you all that have been paying attention, participating in the chats. Thank you for doing so. Last but not least, producer Andy and Brad's puppy, I guess, because he's just biting Brad. Doesn't like that, Brad. I want to thank everyone for joining this show. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We are out.